This is Jordan Sekulow. The final debate of the presidential race is tonight, and an FBI official mentioned in that quid pro quo scandal now being investigated speaks out to the press.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
WikiLeaks releasing a new batch, a new round of nearly 2,000 emails from Clinton campaign chair John Podesta.
Look at this email from John Harwood of CNBC. Remember, he moderated a Republican debate in the primaries. He says to John Podesta, quote, "Amazing that some people still think it's worth burning so much interview time with person most likely to be next president." On her emails, burning questions on her emails. That was September 27th, 2015. I just checked the transcripts. Who did an interview with Hillary Clinton on that day? It looks like Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. The other thing is about Israel, one that just came out that suggests that early on, as her campaign began, early 2015, her aides were debating whether or not to say she was a strong ally of Israel in her opening stump speech in those early days. And several top aides squashed that and said, no, that's going to upset the left and Democratic activists if you look too strong for Israel.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It doesn't look good.
This story's a hot mess. The original sin. It's setting up a server moving classified information against precedent and advice. Like, that to me is what people have jumped on, pounced on, and rightly ridiculed her for. And that's what this batch of Podesta emails shows more than anything. Like, you, with Hillary Clinton, you know exactly what you're getting. That there's so much plotting, there's so much scheming, there's so much calculation, and that's what got her into trouble.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A question for you, for all of you listening to the broadcast today that we're going to get into. Who will win tonight's debate, and how will they win? How can Donald Trump win tonight? What should he be doing? How could Hillary Clinton win tonight? What should she be doing? And what do you expect from Chris Wallace, who I believe will be the toughest moderator, toughest questioner that either of these candidates have faced in these three debates? This is the final debate. It's in Las Vegas, Nevada, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Millions and millions of people are going to be tuning into this. The question is, is it substantive and issues, or does it go personal with both the candidates, not just Donald Trump? We'll take your phone calls about that at 1-800-684-3110. Broke this yesterday. Actually, I was doing a radio interview, and the Washington Post broke this. This is about the quid pro quo issue involving the State Department and the FBI. This broke in the Washington Post just yesterday afternoon, 4:13 p.m. Eastern time. I was literally on a radio show interview, saw it, and was able to discuss it with the host out in Michigan. But the FBI official being discussed in that official 302 form from the FBI is now retired. The one who got the offer from the State Department for the quid pro quo, the this for that, the something for something. And he's now speaking to the Washington Post, I think to cover himself. But what he says is that he got a call from Pat Kennedy. He said, "Brian, I need a favor." I said, "Good, I need a favor. I need our people back in Baghdad." And then they go back and forth over this classification of the emails. They say he at least talked about this twice. Now, you could spin this one way and say, see, there's so much transparency here, FBI officials are speaking out. Or two, these people are nervous that wheels are starting to fall off, that this is starting to unravel.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are thinking online, that people, like you said, are just kind of freaking out at this point, especially as we head into the final debate tonight.
Yeah, this is it, folks. We have Dan Benner, our Director of Government Affairs. We're going to go around, discuss what we believe the candidates need to do, what kind of questions to expect, what questions we hope are asked tonight. And we want to hear from you as well at 1-800-684-3110. Will Donald Trump be able to press Hillary Clinton on this quid pro quo issue seriously enough? Or will it get kind of lost up into a personal attack that, hey, you should be in jail instead of focusing on the whys? Again, foreign policy with the battle to retake Mosul and reports that al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, is actually in Mosul. That's what some of our intelligence sources are reporting from the Kurds, from the Iraqis. That's serious, folks. We're going to talk about all of it when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to ACLJ.org. A lot of news to keep you updated.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Here's the latest headline out of the Washington Post. Quote, I need a favor. FBI official at center of alleged Clinton email quid pro quo speaks out. That headline, by the way, not on Fox News, not a conservative news outlet, not Free Beacon. This is the Washington Post. Now, you can read this article two ways. You can read it and say, see, the FBI is being transparent. There was something kind of fishy about it, so they did the right thing. But if you read a little bit closer, what it sounds like and reads like to me is this FBI agent who's now retired freaking out. So they're going to the press, which is really unheard of, to try. And I think there's so much tarnish right now on the FBI that there are former FBI agents, current FBI. We hear a lot of them complaining to the media as well. Pretty unprecedented to have this many folks from the FBI contacting the media, willing to do interviews. In the documents that were released by the FBI on Monday, Logan and Than, I'll go to you on this, then we'll get into the debate. But in the documents that had the quid pro quo, this person's name was redacted. So this person and the person the FBI was interviewing at the time when referring to this agent, the FBI, they were redacted. So they were willing, let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. Than, they were willing to come out publicly because the pressure is obviously on.
Yeah, to me, it's pretty clear, Jordan. This FBI official, Brian McCauley, to me, he is just scrambling to make sure that his side of the story is told. Because remember, in this report that came out today, what is not told is the testimony of the official in the Records Management Division, which he testified that he heard from Brian McCauley. We didn't know the name yesterday. Now we do. And said that Brian McCauley pressured him to change the classification. So obviously, Brian McCauley tells the story a little bit different, but he does acknowledge that it took place, Jordan. And to go back to what you said yesterday, the evidence that that conversation even took place, that the FBI was receptive to an offer from the State Department for a quid pro quo, that in and of itself is a major ethical problem.
Folks, I want to take your phone calls on the debate as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But this is, I think that this needs to be a focal point of the debate tonight, Logan, that Donald Trump needs to pressure Hillary Clinton directly on the quid pro quo, on the FBI agents. Why were they doing the bidding for you on your private server? I expect Chris Wallace will. The question is, does Donald Trump take the opportunity of having this tough questioner, and he's going to get tough questions too,
right,
from Chris Wallace. But does he get too mad at Chris Wallace not to see the opportunities created by Chris Wallace, who will probably, in a more direct way than anybody else, ask Hillary Clinton about this specific scandal and the handling of classified information, the private email server, the latest quid pro quo. But it will then be up to him to decide whether he's going to be upset with the moderator, because he's going to get questions right. He doesn't like from Chris Wallace.
And they have a history.
Right. They've got a history. So what do you think happens here? Can he pivot and actually deliver an attack?
Well, I think we saw in his last attempt, he did a pretty good job at that. He actually did a good job focusing in. So now we said he even had more time. And that, I think, was a lot due to the fact that all the scandals were breaking out that weekend. He actually did some debate prep. Hopefully that's been the you know truth this coming up time, so he's not just winging it as he did sometimes so well in the primaries. So who knows how this thing goes, but there's also the option of him going full Donald Trump as he was in the primaries as sort of a Hail Mary to see if that maybe clicks with some people and some voters that are watching right now, hearing all the Hillary scandals, and now he'd come out with his sort of entertaining rhetoric. And see if that maybe catches on. There's many different ways he can go. I know a lot of our audience is hoping he sticks with going after specific issues, but there may be a little bit, especially as she's bringing in, his controversies are happening, and we're seeing the fact that he's bringing in guests like Barack Obama's half-brother.
Yeah, let's get to this. Let's explain to this. Barack Obama's half-brother, who is from Kenya.
Is an American citizen.
Is an American citizen, so he can vote. Again, does not really have a relationship, much of a relationship. I think that's been kind of disputed, how much relationship he has with President Obama. But we do know he's actually endorsed Donald Trump. He has a right to do that. I'm not trying to cast negativity necessarily on him, but Donald Trump is bringing him, Logan, to the debate tonight.
Right.
And what Barack Obama's half-brother, unrelated to the Hillary, I don't know how it really relates to Hillary Clinton. Does it bring up that birther issue again? I mean, I don't get it.
That's where your mind goes to, or is he just trying to say, look, even his own brother wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton, or even his own brother now may not vote for him. Like you said, this is kind of seems like an estranged sort of relationship. Someone who in some ways uses his name to get this kind of attention. So like kind of a Gallagher 2. That's what it kind of always feels like when you hear stuff from him. So I don't know. To me, it's a negative. I think it's a bad move, but it happens. And that's where I feel like it may pivot to this sort of entertainment focused Donald Trump tonight, which is not necessarily a bad move. But if he's doing it, it's a Hail Mary.
Well, we were going to talk about that as well. Than the sense that Donald Trump has maybe tried to hold back a bit too much, even after these last two debates. And it's hard to say about Donald Trump, but maybe he's been holding back. Should he just be the Donald Trump that he was in the Republican debates and the primary debates? Be tougher, name-calling worked for him there. And while it may turn people off, the people who already don't really like him, does he need to put some fire back into his base as well?
Yeah, well, I think the story you just talked about with Logan indicates a window into his thinking, and I think his thinking, whether right or wrong, Jordan, is that he does need to do that, that he needs a game changer, despite the fact that he's making statements that he is winning. I think he understands that he needs something to shake up the electorate tonight, so I think he will go that direction. And I would just say this, one comment on the other side. I actually think there's some risk for Hillary Clinton. The strategy she seems to be engaging on just keeping her head down and coasting to the finish line because Donald Trump is imploding. We saw shades of that last cycle, Jordan, not to this extent, but I think Mitt Romney heading into the last debate thought that he was going to win the election and chose to coast to some extent in that debate. I think it would be a mistake for Hillary Clinton to do that tonight. I think while Donald Trump is down, if she wants to win this thing, she really needs to finish it while he is down.
Yes, because to be fair in this, while Donald Trump has not done great in these, Hillary Clinton has been unable to deliver the final knockout.
Right.
If she can't do it at this point, and listen, the truth is, if she couldn't do it after the video surfaced, the Access Hollywood video surfaced, you have to wonder if she has the ability or if anyone has the ability to deliver that kind of blow against Donald Trump. That doesn't mean you can't beat him in the debate and ultimately beat him in the election. But can there be that final moment, the knockout, if you will?
Right, exactly. Let's go on to the calls. Let's go to Chris in Sacramento.
I think Donald Trump is going to win tonight, and I think the gloves are coming off. And I think this is a strategic move on his part because right now he didn't dip in any of the polls. The only people that are going to be losing are the ones that are on the fence, and that means that they're going to not vote for Hillary, not vote for Trump. That gives the margin of error on the side of Donald Trump.
Well, listen, there are reporters that agree with you, Chris. We appreciate your phone call, and I think we all tend to agree that we're going to see maybe a wilder debate tonight that Donald Trump really may take the gloves off in his way. Which
the third
is,
round. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is his last opportunity really to speak to the undecideds. He will do his rallies around the country up until Election Day, get 10,000 people at them. Those will continue to be full. He'll use the tough rhetoric. So he'll feel pretty good. You know, when you go around to big events like that all over the country, you got to think that your campaign's doing pretty good. At the same time, this is your opportunity to actually speak to very likely voters, many of who are undecided. So some of them have made up their mind that are watching tonight, but others are undecided. They're not sure who to vote for. And there's plenty of people out there who are looking to see, okay, I don't really like either of these candidates so much. I get that. So they're saying, I'm trying to figure out which one would govern better. And I think where Hillary Clinton is hurt there is that Hillary Clinton has a history of governing and it's scandal ridden.
Right.
Donald Trump does not. So he's got to put forward the traits of how will this be different. And so, again, that's my opinion. We could take another phone call about it.
All right, let's go to Connie in beautiful Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. Listen, I'm calling about the debate, the last debate that was aired on TV. And the way that Hillary Clinton tried to scandalize him about his taxes when actually he wasn't doing anything wrong, and how the media has just use that to make him look so bad. And I feel this way that, you know, I liked him the way that he was at the start. He was honest and upright, and I like that about him. I don't like people who beat around the bush, hem and haw, and you don't get a straight answer from. And that I think that no matter what the media is doing right now, I like Donald Trump. I'm going to vote for him. They can't change my mind. I like him because I feel that he's our only hope, and that it's Clinton.
But Connie, I think that you also pointed out, and again, you can answer me if I'm right, that you do believe that though you're supporting Donald Trump, you think tonight he needs to change strategy a bit and be a little bit more like the Donald Trump of the primaries.
I think that what's happened is he's getting coached a little bit too strongly because, yes, he is a little bit too outspoken, I think, about things he could rather not say.
That's the thing, Connie. I appreciate your phone. It's a great call, a lot of insight there. It's a very fine line between Donald Trump being overly coached and then Donald Trump being too outspoken and then the gloves coming off, but then everybody saying when they do, who knows what's coming. I mean, that's why I think, you know, you could go back and forth, but what we do know, if all the reports are true, is that Donald Trump may have been coached in some of these debate prep, but it wasn't like he was really prepping. That could have changed, I think. In the last debate, we saw him have a lot more facts, know a lot more about the issues, but he had suffered through that first 30 minutes of just all personal focus on the video that came out. So far, we haven't seen anything else like that come out, and we have had the women who have accused him. So we will see how Hillary Clinton may or may not use that. We'll take your phone calls and comments when we get back. Go to ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the final. This is big, folks. The final presidential debate. Can you believe that we've actually gotten to this point? Everybody can do a sigh.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten to the final debate. We're less than 3 weeks away from the actual election day. Getting the results to know if Donald J. Trump or Hillary Rodham Clinton will be the next president of the United States, or if some wacky scenario happens where the Congress picks someone, and maybe it's a guy who wins Utah. We will, again, know very soon.
So if he just wins Utah, does it send it to that? Or does he have to win Utah?
No,
and then multiple states
others,
have to kind of like fall.
A few others.
So it's a little bit harder than just...
It's a very it's a complicated strategy.
Yeah,
I don't like calling things complicated that I don't believe are. I was very critical, actually, of how the media kept covering this Clinton FBI story with the quid pro quo, because it kept saying, complicated. Getting Congress to be able to pick the president and all the things that have to happen, right, is fairly complicated. Guys like Than, they love playing those details out. The people like Than, he loves going through all that strategy. We can, so that people aren't totally confused, though, I guess, because we've brought it up, let's discuss it for people, because it's fair. I think that tonight people may be, again, looking for, is there another option to vote for?
Right.
I mean, seriously. People come away from these debates sometimes so turned off by this process that they say, is there anybody else I could just cast my vote for? And how could that vote actually do something? Not just a protest vote. So Than, explain how one of these third-party candidates, this is not the strategy so far fully embraced by the Libertarian Party, though that could certainly play into it, or the Green Party with Jill Stein, but specifically Evan McMullen's campaign has focused in on this strategy of Utah and a few other states.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a compliment, Jordan, when you say that guys like me like this kind of thing. But it's true. I do. This is the 12th Amendment scenario. The 12th Amendment lays out how we elect our presidents. And essentially, in a nutshell, you have to get a majority of the Electoral College, which in this case is 270 electoral votes. So hypothetically, if Evan McMullen or anyone else would win another state, let's say he wins Utah and would get six electoral votes, in theory, it is possible for each of the other candidates to fail to reach that 270 threshold. It could be something like, 266 to 266 to 6 for Evan McMullen. If that happens, the House of Representatives would elect the new president from the top three vote getters in the Electoral College. So they could choose Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or in that hypothetical, Evan McMullen. And interestingly enough, Jordan, the vice president then would be picked by the United States Senate from the top two vote getters on that. So it would be either Mike Pence or Tim Kaine. And those elections would be happening simultaneously. So I can guarantee you it would involve a lot of political bartering. But here's the bottom line. An awful lot has to happen to get there. It's probably going to be Donald Trump or Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah, who will be the next president of the United States, which is why the debate tonight is so important. Many Americans, this is when they tune in. They don't watch a lot of this information, not listen to broadcasts like this. They're not as informed. So because of that, these debates and the fact that they've gotten this unbelievable viewership numbers like never before, they're always well watched, but nothing like these numbers. That it's really having an effect on the election. In the past, you could say, little effect here, little effect there. These could swing the election. And there's one more opportunity tonight. Let's take some calls.
Let's go to Rick in Montana on line one. Rick, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Rick.
I think the one thing about the debate tonight, Chris Wallace brings a whole bunch of integrity. He's not biased towards one way or another. I think he'll stick to the issues. He'll keep it fair. He won't let Hillary jump all over Trump about something that isn't proven. I think he'll do that, and I think he'll hit a home run, because if they stick to the issues, or even if they go to the controversies, really Hillary has no leg to stand on. She's got quite a history that isn't very popular. I consider myself an independent Christian. I'm not registered Republican. I've talked to a lot of people who are similar. And it's all hands up, Trump. I think he can do some good things if we let him.
Yeah, listen, Rick, and he's counting on the voters like you to push him over the edge, the independent voters who out there who don't really identify with one of the major parties, who sometimes, I'm not saying this about you, Rick, by the way, but sometimes voters like that, who are not as involved in one part or the other, don't always show up, you know, on election day, and you need lots of them to. Now, you, Rick, may be a very active independent voter. That's great. So I'm not casting anything, but there are a lot of folks out there who have just been kind of put off by the political process. So they may turn out for presidential elections if they're excited about someone enough, or if they're upset with someone enough to vote against them. We could take some more calls. What are the people saying on Facebook and Periscope? What did they expect tonight, Logan? I mean, we can talk and talk about issues, but this could just be a gloves-off brawl.
I think some people look forward to that, but most of our audience, I'm saying, don't feel that way. On Periscope, this person just said, I don't mind the moderator being tough. I do hate when one is asked for more explanations and not the other, so they like it when it's more even. And then there's a lot of comments, just specifically, great, Chris Wallace will probably do a great job. He's fair and balanced. From Estella, you say that, he will probably do a great job, but you never know. It's sort of like a host of the Academy Awards. On paper, it looks good, but sometimes it falls apart, yep. Especially when you have beef with the person, and he and Trump haven't had the greatest relationship.
No, tell people, Trump has nasty Trump tweeted about him.
Specifically said, you know, he's not as good a journalist as his dad was, that kind of comment.
So, you know. Depending on how Trump goes and all this, listen, the moderator plays a role. I mean, they're supposed to just be there to ask the tough questions and follow up, but ultimately they do play a very important role. If you get in fights with the moderator, it's going to could hurt you.
One comment just came in, I think that said, Donald Trump is still hitting hard, but is more focused. Stop saying he's imploding. It's not true.
Well, I think that there has certainly been a rough patches of implosion. moments of implosion, moments of no turning back for Donald Trump, and yet he seems to be able to at least continue to survive. And now this slew of articles, I go to Stan Bennett on this, Stan, a slew of articles out. Now, sometimes I think that this is the media trying to gin up support for Hillary Clinton indirectly by telling everybody, look at the actual polls. Donald Trump could win. Don't just assume that this is in the bag for Hillary Clinton. That is a message, folks, really to Clinton and supporters and those who don't support Donald Trump, is this is close enough where There's no given at this point.
Well, and that's the truth, Jordan. I mean, I don't think there's any arguing that 3 weeks ago Donald Trump was stronger in the polls than he is today. So regardless of what the reason for that is, he's not headed in the right direction. But listen, I mean, Hillary Clinton's campaign is right to put that message out, because if there is a lack of enthusiasm on her side and then Donald Trump performs a little bit better on election day than the polls suggest that he might, which, by the way, there's a lot of reasons to believe that that is a distinct possibility. If those two things happen, Jordan, I mean, the slew of states that Donald Trump needs to win this election, they're not outside the margin of possible victory for him. So while all of the signs might be heading towards Hillary Rodham Clinton, you're talking about less than 3 weeks to an election, and it is not over. Donald Trump could easily still win.
Folks, remember, we have another half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up next. If you don't get that half hour, the additional half hour on your radio station, your local station, remember, it's carried the full hour on Sirius XM, right, channel 131. You can also watch Facebook and Periscope. Remember, there's more to talk about now. An FBI official at the center of the alleged Clinton quid pro quo is speaking out to reporters. This is unprecedented. We're going to cover this more in the second half hour of the broadcast and continue to take your calls. Logan, if people don't get this second half hour, they want to participate differently, we've got a lot of options for them.
That's right. If you don't get it on your network, join us on Facebook and Periscope. If you want to comment, that's a great way to do it. You get to watch us HD feed. Again, it's facebook.com/JaySekulow. You'll see it's the most recent post. It'll say Jay Sekulow is live now. Same with on Periscope. If you have that app, just search for Jay Sekulow. You'll find us there. But in general, ACLJ.org. You can also watch it. Can't interact as easily. You can watch it at ACLJ.org or have an audio-only feed. If this is where we lose you, if you're headed off, got to go back to work, join us later on the Jay Sekulow Live archive, available on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, Roku, Apple TV apps, and on the ACLJ app for all iOS devices.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow a lot. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a hard one to come back from.
It is.
It's intense.
It's a lot of up and down, up and down. And yeah.
It's like Bowser's Castle.
The final presidential debate is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can watch on any of the networks, both broadcast and cable news networks. Chris Wallace from Fox News will be the moderator, the sole moderator. I kind of like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, the audience questions, I get the idea. It's so blah.
Right.
I mean, to me, I think that having a tough moderator who's very informed on the issues is the best way to get at the heart of what these candidates are about, how they can defend themselves from attack as well, because you know, you don't want someone going in who can't answer for what they've been accused of. Now, could Chris Wallace go personal on Donald Trump about the women who have accused him? I could see it. I could see it happening. They agreed. Both campaigns agreed to have Chris Wallace as their moderator. And I think if Hillary Clinton has a good night, she will spin in a seat even with the Fox News guy. I won the debate. I mean, Logan, I could see that. That's why, of all the people at Fox News, he's the one she would be most likely to allow as a moderator. They put forward, he's the kind of straight news guy, ask very tough questions. So I think that they thought that he, and because of his Fox News connection, that if Trump has a tough time with him, people will think, oh, Trump had a bad night.
Right. I think you're right. He's definitely a straight news man. You know, there's a handful out there still on all the networks. He's one of them, him, maybe, you know, Brett Baer, some of these guys who have that sort of journalistic view, not as opinionated or not as opinion-driven programming. But maybe you're right. Maybe people don't know that. You want to go ahead and take a call, though?
Yeah, let's take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. This is really a show to discuss with you. These are tough debates to predict. Hillary Clinton, I think if she can continue to do what she did in the last couple of debates, she's still going to be leading in the polls. Does that mean she's got this wrapped up? No. So she may be looking to deliver a knockout punch. At the same time, those can backfire and cause a lot. So you have to, they're doing their calculations. And is there such thing when you're dealing with Donald Trump? Because he's pretty good at throwing it back in your face, as he did throughout the Republican primary debates. And he went through, what, 18 of those or something, you know, some number like that. So let's go to the phones.
Let's go to Scott, Elkin, North Carolina, line 3.
Hey, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Jordan. I appreciate it. Just wanted to say, if I was advising Donald Trump, I would take a page from the Bill Clinton playbook of the early 90s and be a technocrat. Have the facts and figures. You know, people are looking at Donald Trump for economic answers. And the thing is, he's got the experience in those issues that he should be able to technically assess Hillary Clinton's proposals, cut them to shreds, cut them to ribbons, and then throw back the facts and figures that Americans are looking for him to provide that says, look, this is the path to prosperity. I've got the proven tools that can bring us there.
I agree, Scott. With, you know, the economy is front and center in this debate. They've listed what the main topics will be. And of course, candidates can bring up other things. The moderator's got to deal with that, like, you know, personal. And sometimes they don't even get to all of the topics. But at the top of the debate, the issues are debt and entitlements. So you've got like healthcare, Obamacare would be covered under that. Social Security would be covered under that. These are all opportunities for Donald Trump. Then you go to the economy itself, as you brought up. Now, this is important. Let me go to Stan Bennett quickly, our director of government affairs. Stan, we only got a minute left. But when he gets into the economy, as our caller said, he needs to have those specifics. The question is, Donald Trump and technocrat probably don't go hand in hand.
Well, no, I don't think they do, but I agree with Scott in this sense. On the economy, I think he should demonstrate the superior knowledge that I think he probably has on that issue. Remember, the economy and national security, those are going to determine this election. So you've got the economy, which he can win on. You also have the fight that's happening in Mosul. Those two opportunities, Jordan, for Donald Trump, I think they're very big tonight.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Logan's monitoring your comments on Facebook and Periscope. We will read some of those as well. Logan, any to point out right now as we go into a break?
This is one from, she may not want me to tell her name, so I won't. She said, I'm part of the silent majority. Polls do not count us, as we are massive.
Well, that is what Donald Trump is counting on. And it is why I think that even after this debate, we will not know until Election Day, even based off the polls. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And in this second half hour, usually we save it for the final segment, but we're going to go through as many phone calls as possible. I do want to update you on a couple of stories. First, the FBI official at the center of the alleged Clinton email, quote, quid pro quo scandal is now speaking out. This is pretty unprecedented. He's contacting and doing interviews, an hour-long interview he did with the Washington Post. This broke yesterday afternoon around 4:15 Eastern time. I was actually doing an interview on another radio broadcast when this story broke, and we were able to discuss it. And he talks about how he got contacted by Pat Kennedy, the Undersecretary of State at the State Department, saying, I need a favor. And then him saying back, I do too. Now, this is one person trying to cover themselves. They got no record of this. There's no notes of this. The records that we have say there was a quid pro quo pressure scheme ongoing, you know, bribes being offered, basically. You do this, we will do this in return, even though they're directly unrelated to each other. It's not a, it's not something where, again, there was, you know, the one was a change the classification of an email. The other is, we'll allow you to put agents back in Baghdad. We now know that was actually what the FBI was looking for specifically, was to put FBI agents back into our embassy in Baghdad. And for some reason, it had been our foreign policy not to have them there. To me, that's also a very dangerous part of this, is that they were willing, the State Department, over one of their former Secretary of State's emails in her private servers that they wanted to have marked as not classified, that was marked as classified, they were willing to change their foreign policy strategy, to change their strategy. Now, you can agree with or disagree with the Obama administration's foreign policy, but think about how flimsy it is. If you'd be willing to change whatever reason they had to not have the FBI in the Baghdad office, that they'd be willing to do that over an email getting a change in classification. To me, Than, and then we'll move on to the calls, to me, that's not, obviously the criminal part is the bribery. The scary part, though, is how flippant they are with our foreign policy and with the foreign policy of the United States.
Well, Jordan, especially after what happened in Benghazi, I mean, whether or not to put U.S. personnel on the ground in places like Benghazi or Baghdad, where, you know, there's a very valuable reason to have them there, but there's also a huge risk to having them there. That decision, that deliberation, that has to be made outside of politics, outside of anything else, because ultimately, Jordan, the price that you might have to pay for the wrong decision is the death of Americans. And you know, this State Department suffered that in Benghazi. And even after that attack, it is clear that they were willing to make these decisions based on political input. That is just not inappropriate, not appropriate.
Folks, the email that the State Department was trying to change from classified to unclassified so that Hillary Clinton could go out and say, now this is after she's left. She's no longer the Secretary of State, yet she has the Undersecretary of State for Management doing her bidding because of what's on her private server, not her State Department server, her private server. I mean, ask yourself, why is he doing that? But on top of that, the email in question was about Benghazi. That's what they wanted to unclassify so that she could go out and make the statement of, I didn't have any classified emails on my private server. That's all. And yet the State Department was doing this bidding. It's absurd. And finally, I do think the media is picking up on it. You're hearing a lot of commentators say this is no good for Hillary Clinton. It is why Donald Trump stays in this race within striking distance. Let's get right back to the phones, Logan.
Yep, let's go to Bruce in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, Bruce.
Thanks for holding.
Okay. Hi, Jordan. I was thinking about this, and maybe an opportunity here, kind of a bigger picture idea.
Sure.
And with all this criminal activity and corruption and, you know, the media's bias and, you know, the things we're, you know, you were discussing is that, you know, it makes me question whether these people really love our country, our Constitution, respect our Bill of Rights, and even more fundamentally, the Declaration of Independence, because, you know, Donald Trump may have the opportunity here to question, do you really love our country because the actions that you're doing are going against the very things that we're foundationally about?
You know what, Bruce? I think we're at a kind of a tipping point in our country, and our nation has gotten so divided along partisan lines. And sometimes we don't see that as much in presidential elections because there are people who vote in presidential elections who don't regularly vote in midterm elections and local elections. So it gets a little wishy-washy, but this is going to be one of the most passionate ever. And yet the polls show that most Americans don't really like either candidate. And yet I do believe reports that things could get a little rough and tumble if Donald Trump were to lose and there was allegations of vote rigging, as he's already bringing up. On the flip side, I think that the left also could get pretty rough and tumble if Hillary Clinton loses to Donald Trump. So, I believe we're at a tipping point. And there are people, how they would answer you, Bruce, is they would say they're not subversive because they're doing so in the public. They're doing it in public. They're doing it in the court of public opinion and in the legal courts as well. So subversive is not the right word. They have different interpretations of what the Declaration of Independence, what the Bill of Rights means, what the First Amendment means. Go to the Second Amendment. They have very different interpretations of the Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights. So Than, it's to me, it's not so subversive anymore. It's pretty much out there. It's just a very different view of our founding documents and what it means to be to love your country.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, it's an impossible thing to identify the motive of someone's heart. So I would just encourage the caller not to look there, but to look at the actions of the individuals running, whether it's for president or for a federal official or for a local official. Look at what they have done and whether or not it lines up with what they are saying. I think that's the best way to determine what someone will do once they assume office. And I would just say one other thing on the tactic of telling voters and supporters that the election is rigged. I mean, there is fraud out there, but telling your supporters to not trust the system that is going to be used in 3 weeks, that's poor strategy, Jordan, because what that does is that suppresses turnout. So whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or anyone else, I think they should be working to protect the integrity of this system by using their own apparatus. But don't tell supporters that the system is rigged. That will actually backfire, not on your opponent, but on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be doing himself a better service if he was talking about how the FBI rigged an investigation for Hillary Clinton. That more people would resonate with that. If you want to talk about a rigged investigation, look at what was ongoing with the FBI. I mean, this reporter, the FBI agent, continues to talk to reporters. Another story out in Politico. And in this story, he says, yes, we were having this back and forth, but it was unrelated. See, he tried to say, we're having this back and forth, but it's not a quid pro quo because it was unrelated. Now, he also said, though, that he had been calling and calling and never got a phone call from the State Department back from Pat Kennedy, and finally did when Pat Kennedy wanted something. So yeah, they're obviously related. You see, this is somebody who's trying to cover themselves because they know, hey, President Donald Trump has promised to investigate this. Again, Logan, what are people saying on Facebook and Periscope? Other than yes and no, which people
are saying? The yeses and noes are coming in. So most people, I have to say, reporting, which is a good sign, I guess, and most people are saying yes. So overwhelmingly, only one person actually will admit to saying no. Three people said they're DVRing it.
Yeah.
So
I get, hey, people are, I mean, it's.
That's the third party vote for today is the DVR. You want to take a call?
Yeah.
Let's Let's go to Dalton in Texas. Thanks for holding, Dalton. Almost 35 minutes.
Yeah, hey, Dalton, hold on after you talk to us, and we will get your address and send you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. Thanks, Dalton.
Yes, sir.
You're on the air.
Okay. My other point that I would like to make is, as a kid growing up, I never used to really follow politics like that. But what I've observed, I think this administration, the Obama administration, it's one of the most shadiest administration that I've ever, in my time, that I've ever witnessed. I mean, the email scandal, the head of the FBI, you know, and they're, I mean, I'm also in the military, and I've seen where, you know, it also has its influence in the military, too.
Sure.
My other point is, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a radical Christian. And this administration has basically changed, you know, the identity.
No, I get you, Dalton. Let me thank you for your service to our country. Make sure to hold on so we get your address, send you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. You hung on for over 30 minutes to talk to us on the air. First of all, on the debt issue, on the economy, Than, this issue is number one in what will be discussed in tonight's debate. The question is, how deep will the candidates go? And is Donald Trump prepared to really discuss it? Because these are issues that, yeah, you don't want to bore people, but because that is part of the debate. But you have to put the figures in a way that people understand, in what you're proposing in a way that people understand in a clear way that they can take away and say, this is what Donald Trump said he's going to do about debt the next day while they're at work, and at the water cooler, if you will.
Well, both on politics and substance, Jordan, I mean, I think this is an area ripe with opportunity for Donald Trump, because I honestly think he can look back at his business experience and say, I am going to apply the same principles to the United States of America. And I think that's a message that will resonate. If I were him and this topic comes up, I would not use that as an opportunity to go after Hillary Clinton. I would tell the American people what he has done and how that will apply to his job as president.
The retired FBI agent at the heart of the quid pro quo now scandal involving Hillary Clinton and her classification of her emails. In his latest interview, he told Politico he does question the motivations of Undersecretary of State Pat Kennedy. This is new. I don't know what his motivation was, but it certainly wasn't national security, which was my motivation. Folks, we'll talk about it all. We'll take your calls when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. He handed out immunity to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence, thwarting congressional subpoenas. That's called obstruction of justice, and it's a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office. It's corruption at the highest level, and it's time for the FBI director to go. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Take a little love.
Jay Sekulow Live. It's our final segment of the broadcast. We've been taking a lot of phone calls and comments today, but we're going to take more, and I'm sure we will, you know, throughout the week after this final presidential debate. As you know, you can follow many of us on social media during the debates, after the debates, for kind of our thoughts. I encourage you to do that. I think that on this debate, you know, there's the topics we know will come up are the debt and entitlements, the economy, immigration, the Supreme Court, thankfully. And I think in that issue, you know, also that's where like life, religious liberty, those issues kind of can arise. They don't necessarily, but they can. And then also foreign hotspots. So what's happening, for instance, in Iraq? Now, this is where Donald Trump also has to be careful. In Iraq, there's a move to retake Mosul from ISIS. That battle has begun. The U.S. is involved. We have 5,000 troops on the ground. They're not on the front lines, but they are in danger. They will be in danger as this progresses deeper into the city of Mosul, which is a city of over a million people. That being said, there are also reports that Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, is in Mosul. So you see how the Obama administration, ever so slowly, is inching to the potential, and I'm saying the potential, that before the election, the leader of ISIS could be dead or captured.
Right.
I mean, it's a potential. It may not. It may take too long. He may flee Mosul. I mean, this is a guy who's been able to go underground. But I'm just saying that do not. I'd say almost when you look for the surprises and change. Remember, they are not talking about this. I want to go to Than and Logan on this, and we'll go to call. They're not talking about what's happening in Mosul at all. Our government, like President Obama. Is not talking about it. Our top leaders
barely
aren't
news.
Barely making news, and yet the leader of ISIS is there, and there's a full-on war going on to retake the city. I mean, this could impact. I don't like saying that what our troops do can impact the election, but it's just true.
Oh yeah,
that if we are able
to capture
and they're able to capture the head of ISIS, that could be an election game changer.
Absolutely, I think you're correct. It's a headline that will certainly grab attention, but why aren't we hearing it in the news? Is it because they're waiting for something big, kind of like when they got Bin Laden? We didn't know it was happening until that moment. Is that what's going on right now, or is this something where we're actually underplaying what we're doing and it's not near as involved as it really should be? That's something we'll have to find out.
Let me ask Dan about that. This idea again. That let's just say, I mean, even if it's not Baghdadi himself who's captured, but if this ground game against ISIS goes well, I mean, as good as it can, and it's serious battle going on, loss of life, and Americans are going to be in harm's way and potential loss of life as well. But if this does work, then, you know, and I think Hillary Clinton will do it tonight. That's why I'm talking about this, folks. I think she will point to this battle right now as an example of her strategy to defeat ISIS and how it can work. And whether you agree with this or is this the best approach or not, and this doesn't get rid of ISIS completely if they're still all over Syria and in Raqqa, but if Baghdadi's there, if their leadership is decided to stay and that this is going to be their main fight and they fall, this could all, I mean, even if it takes a long time, some have said months, this gives her the way to actually point to her theory in action, Than.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Jordan. I think she will bring it up tonight. I think she should bring it up tonight. And to be honest with you, if I were Donald Trump, what I think he should say, listen, I am with the president on this one. And if we get al-Baghdadi, I will celebrate along with him. But here's my concern. I think that this should be one of the stated missions. If we're going to put men and women in harm's way, if I were president, I would make the elimination of al-Baghdadi and the elimination of ISIS not just one of the things that could happen along the way. That would be the clear mission. So I think Hillary Clinton will bring it up, and it has the most potential to help her. But I think Donald Trump still can point out that it would almost... An accident is too strong of a word, Jordan, but it is not the ultimate mission of this administration. And he can continue to point that out even while saying, I am pulling for them. I am pulling for the United States of America. And if we get al-Baghdadi, it's a good thing.
All right, Logan, let's go to the phones.
All right, let's go ahead. We'll take them in order. Let's go to Raj in Vienna, Virginia.
Hey, Raj.
Thank you. You have called on Congress for Jim Comey. But how would you think about sounding an alarm to recall Congress to remove the Attorney General for obstruction of justice?
You know, Congress has the power to impeach, but that process is not so quick. So, and especially when you have a divided Congress. I mean, Than, the idea is Congress can take action on these officials, but even if they were to come back and have an emergency session, I get Raj's feeling about this. They can't, the impeachment would take longer than the entire Obama administration. Now, in Comey's case, he's got a longer term than he's not just he doesn't just serve at the pleasure of the president. So he has a longer term. There may be some pressure there that continues from Congress.
Yeah, he's not set to leave office till 2023, so he's got a long way to go. Listen, here's what I would say to Raj very quickly. I think Congress should say right now we are calling for Jim Comey's resignation, and when we return after the election, if he has not stepped down, we will begin hearings to investigate whether or not he should be impeached. That's how you start that process, Jordan. It takes a long time, but we do agree with Raj that the calls for his resignation should begin immediately.
All right, let's get to some more calls.
All right, Leslie in Long Island, you're on the air.
Hey, Leslie, hold on after your comment, and we will send you a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. You've been holding on a long time. We appreciate it.
Hi, good afternoon.
Thanks, Leslie.
From Long Island. I'd just like to say I am hoping that Donald Trump comes out tonight strong, composed, focused. He has a lot at stake for us as Americans. This is not about being a Democrat or Republican. It's about being an American. We are not united. Clinton has race-baited us. She's divided us as a country. We need to come together, stand together, and fight for what's right. Our military, our people at home, our families, all of this. We've got everything from the economy to the laws to the judicial. Why is it that the media and everyone is just so skewed against what Donald has to do and stand for? He's trying to stand for us. He stands there behind the flag with a flag on his lapel. He loves America.
Well, and Leslie, this is how Donald Trump has continued to survive, I would say, is supporters like you. You really believe in him, and you feel like it's the change we need. My question, though, is kind of this, and it's not just to you. It's kind of just to everybody that's listening right now. So I get everything Leslie is saying. Is he the right mouthpiece for that message? Is he the one who has shown he can do it? He's got that opportunity tonight. I mean, the questions still are out there. He has not put away this election either. I mean, that's important to know. Unless, you know, there's such a huge silent majority that, and you cannot, you know, he has to look at the polls too and see even the ones he's leading, he's barely leading.
Right.
You know, so it's very close. He's got to take it seriously.
Let's go to Ann quickly in Albany, New York. Ann, we're running out of time.
Hey, Ann, we appreciate you holding. We'll send you a book if you hang on to get your address.
Okay. Thank you.
No, go ahead. You're on the air.
You're on the air, though. You could.
All right. So my question is about election rigging. Trump mentions it, but I think for some of the things he claims, even with the media, but with election rigging, if he explained how it worked, and he's not the kind of guy to take things sitting down, what to do? Could there be a Freedom of Information Act on the companies that supply the machines or the elections officials?
Yeah, I think, and that's one of the issues. When you claim that our election is going to be rigged, there are concrete. I don't have time to go to Thania, but Than pointed out, we've been involved at ACLJ at, you know, strengthening voter ID laws. We know that the Department of Homeland Security has taken over from the states the security of the ballots because of hacks from overseas. Okay, so there's concrete things to point to. There's also voter fraud that occurs, registrations. You could go through the list. But you got to point to those, and you can explain them out. Like you said, file FOIAs, ask for information, put the pressure on. Why did DHS decide to do it? Where are these hacks coming from into our election system, and how could it impact our elections on and our votes? Because people already know where we are. They start voting today.
Right.
And other states already were able to. People could already get their absentees sent in. But there are still the majority of folks who will be voting on election day. What's happening there? There's time, but you got to explain those kind of issues. Folks, it will be interesting to watch, to say the least, the final presidential debate tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And Logan, we'll take everybody's comments tomorrow on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Find us tomorrow. We'll be sure we'll have a lot to talk about on JSEC Yo Live.
FBI Director James Comey has broken the sacred trust of the American people. He conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. We're calling on Congress to impeach Director Comey. Add your name to our new petition, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.